Welcome to Messy Buns Podcast. This is Mary.
This is Elise.
And today we are continuing our pro-life conversation, specifically how it applies to Elijah Michael Bennett, Elise's son. A person's a person, no matter how small, says the great Dr. Seuss.
So it's our time to boogie.
Boogie? Who says that? No one.
I do.
You do. I'll allow it. I'm so excited about our special guest today, Elise. You're a little outnumbered.
Wait, I'm outnumbered?
Yes, because we're the same and you are different.
You're not a man, not in a bad way. I get it.
All right, that makes, Will gets it. That's all that matters.
That's why earlier she was. You were saying the.
Which one of these doesn't belong?
Okay, yeah, that
no,
one.
You totally belong.
Yeah, well,
no. Which one isn't the
freaking
same?
Come on our podcast, then wait, I'd have my other.
That's a call out, Chris Bruno.
Christopher.
Okay, so enough beating around the bush. We have a very special guest with us today, and that is drumroll, please.
Do I do the drum roll for myself?
Sure. William Bennett, Elise's husband.
The hubby.
The hubby.
Hi.
Anyway, So I was joking around before because as Elise has explained in the past, Will and I are very much the same. Which is, I don't know why
it's
I'm
like
just
the male
laughing
and
over
female
here.
Version.
We look the same, just one of us has a beard.
This is true. Our hair is the same length and everything. He even has a messy bun.
I know.
Come on.
Oh my
anyway,
goodness.
But I'm excited to continue.
I don't even know where to look. This is so weird.
It's like looking in a mirror.
Looking in the mirror.
But anyway, so this is a very special podcast because we're continuing on our pro-life conversation. But specifically today, we've got a unique take because we're going to talk about Elijah Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
Elise and Will's very beautiful, precious, wonderful son. So we're going to talk about the idea of life beginning at conception. Period. Like it's black and white.
Yes.
It's facts, right?
Yes. Yes.
What do they say? Because science.
Because science.
Science.
Right. So what you thinking, Elise?
I have a story to tell first.
Tell your story.
You know, to just open it up. So, you know, I have all these stupid health issues. It's real fun. And I went and did this stress test recently. And I passed.
Well, good
actually, job. Actually, I don't know if I passed, but I got through, which was
you survived.
Awesome. Yeah. She was like, man, a little competitive because she kept being like, are you okay? Do you want to go to the next level? And I'd be like, yeah. And she's like, wow.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know what I was like so excited to exercise because I haven't gotten to exercise. And I was like, man, if I pass out, I'm at the doctor's.
At least there's a doctor there.
Anyway, so then afterwards, she puts this heart monitor on me. And I don't know what I was expecting. I thought there was going to be like wires and like all kinds of like I'd have to like wear something on my hip or whatever. Well, they, of course, now have everything that's so like sleek.
Right.
So I got this heart monitor and it like sticks right on my chest. And there's a button like a doorbell, like literally it looks like a doorbell.
Ding dong.
Yeah. And which is so funny because when we were coming out, I was like, William, you want to touch it, don't you? Because he has to touch everything, like literally. And he was like,
yes.
He's nodding over there.
He was like, well, now that you say it, I do. So basically,
she hasn't let me press it yet.
Oh, what the heck has taken so long?
Well, because it's
like a day.
There's been plenty of times for me to be able to press it too.
Oh my gosh.
Hashtag symptomatic.
Well, yeah. So basically, my job is that anytime I feel symptomatic, I have to press the button.
Ring the doorbell.
Yeah. But it's so funny because I'll be like in the middle of talking to Will and all of a sudden I'm just like, press.
Like, it's only like, when she talks to me that she's symptomatic.
So it's just kind of awkward because it's like I have to do it and then I have to record what my symptoms were. But like you could be in the middle of a deep conversation. Like, and all
well,
like,
you didn't tell where the thing is located.
It's literally like right on my chest, like above the two girls. Like,
so if someone's talking to you,
yeah, like
that's why it's so obvious because you're like,
yeah. Yeah. And you're like, your eyes, you know, my eyes are up here. And you're like, yeah, but your doorbell's down there.
And there's literally like a line that goes down. So it literally
has an excuse.
Yes,
now,
there
right?
is.
Like, I'm just looking at your doorbell. Okay.
I'm just looking at your doorbell. So, anyways, so I have a doorbell for my heart
your
right now.
Your ding dongs.
In fact, right now, I actually need to press it. Okay.
There it is. All right. Now we can start.
It would be awesome if it did ding dong when you did press it, though.
That would be so awesome.
And through your whole house, like a real doorbell. Yeah. Doorbell.
It's a doorbell.
It's a doorbell to my heart.
Anyways,
back to our absolutely lovely.
Well, something I want to ask you, I think, would be a nice way to open up this conversation is, I just want you to share a little bit. You know, new life is always exciting. Okay, I mean, some maybe more exciting for some people than others, but I think just thinking about especially how you and I have experienced infertility for so long, can you guys just share a little bit, speaking about life beginning at conception,
right?
Like when you guys found out and actually believed you were pregnant, because we talked about this taking a little while for it to actually sink in. Infertile for how long?
Yeah.
Technically?
At that point, 8.5 years.
8 years. What was it like to find out that you actually really did have a new human life growing inside of her, not you?
It was just disbelief, really. I think we did not act the way that you would think somebody who struggled with it for that long would act. I know when she told me, there was nothing special. She didn't do anything special. She didn't like surprise me with anything. You know what I mean? Because it was so unbelievable, right? And then I'm sure she was kind of like, why isn't he more excited? You know, because I think I was
also dead asleep.
But even then, like, I was still just like, is this real life?
Sure.
You know?
I don't think that we really truly experienced it until our first appointment.
Yeah. That's probably right.
Is that when you heard the heartbeat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was like we went in there and, you know, I laid down and everything and I was 6.5 weeks, I think we found out at that point, mm-hmm. like 6.5 weeks, you know.
You found out late.
Yeah. And because
who would have thought to check? Right.
And they don't normally do ultrasounds that early, but I was considered very high risk. So we were both, I don't know, you want, I feel like you have
I
a
was
good
just dumbfounded. Oh, well, so like when we were there, you were like, I have no, you couldn't even see the baby in the ultrasound. I knew instantly where the baby was at in the ultrasound. So whenever they show the ultrasound picture, they're like, it just looks all the same. Like, it just looks like a bunch of boogers on the, you know, black and white boogers or whatever. Like, I saw it and was like, oh, that's the baby. Okay, that's ours, you know?
Yeah.
And she still didn't see it. I think she was still like, well, where
oh,
is
that's
it?
That's so cute.
Well, but then it was, so I think that was probably, was that your moment that you were like, this is
and
real?
Then it happened because then she like turned the volume up and all of a sudden I was like,
oh my gosh. And that has
whatever noise it makes.
Exactly like that.
That's how I remember it.
My son's heartbeat. It was like, but that's the moment was very overwhelming. I know I cried. Like, I think you said you did it or something. Like, you said something. I think you said, like, we did it or you did it or something. It was like, baby, you did it. Like,
yeah, you did.
And I was crying. And this woman has no idea, like, that she's like, you know, because I'm sure she experiences a lot of this, but she has no idea, like, what we've been through. And, like, this is the thing is like, okay, at 6.5 weeks, that heartbeat was so powerful and so strong. And like, I just remember thinking like, how could somebody not know this was a life? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was just such a powerful moment. Like, you can't hear a heartbeat. It's like this tiny, tiny little thing and this vibrant heartbeat, you know what I mean? Like, it was just
so early.
I'm like getting so choked up. It was so powerful. Like, I will never ever, I got to hear his heartbeat twice, once at 6.5 weeks and once at 7.5, and it was just the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced.
And I remember because you texted me pictures of the ultrasound, and I know it was always kind of iffy, you know, if either one of us would get pregnant, we didn't know how much to share with the other person because of how difficult it would be. But, and I've shared with Elise before that there was like zero difficulty for me. Like, when I saw that, it was so real for me. I'm not a crier, guys, but I cried at that moment, just understanding what she had. I mean, I think you knew that. I mean, what she had been through and to see and this. I mean, here, did you send me that?
No, we didn't. I wish.
No,
like,
because
it must have just been the ultrasound.
I don't remember what we did. We went to you guys in person.
Yeah. And after that, I'm seeing there was so this appointment when you got the ultrasound. You must have just sent me the pictures. And I was like, oh, this is real. For me, I had my own moment.
Right. Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Like, to understand what actually happened was a really big deal.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Like, I wish we had a chance. Obviously, we didn't know that we were going to lose him. So I wish we had had a chance to record that. Right. And they do, like, I know at that office, like, eventually they do, like, you can pay for mm-hmm. that, you know? But I'm like, you know, if we ever get an experience, you know, like that again, you better believe we will be recording every right. single aspect of it. And if we have to pay for it, fine. Like,
I know. You know? We need more proof that it actually happened, you know?
I know. Honestly, it's forever burned in my mind, that heartbeat. Like, the heartbeat was that moment for me that I was like, this is real.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the reality is that although in a woman with a couple who experiences infertility, it is like more surprising and maybe a little bit more shocking and amazing when we discover that a woman becomes pregnant. But in general, the process of conception is a miracle that happens every moment, every time that it happens. Do you know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Every single time. I don't care how easy it is for right. a woman to achieve a pregnancy. I don't care right. if she did it on purpose or an accident. Right. Okay, well, we know it's not on accident.
Right,
I should
right.
take that back.
Yeah.
Whether she intended, you know, whatever. Like, the process of that process is just a beautiful miracle. It's crazy, all these things that come together in right. just the right way and the perfect time.
Yeah.
And, right. and they, you know, we're able to be co-creators of new life with God. It's just an amazing thing.
Well, and it's like if you look into genetics, because like now having, you know, found out I have this genetic mutation and all these other things, like when you start looking into all those things, like then you even more so realize, because there's so many things that can go wrong. And even just the sequencing of DNA that there's so many human beings without more mutations, oh my gosh, you know what I mean?
Right?
And it's just the whole thing. Like when you look in the science of it, like you have to believe in a God. Because there's no way that so many of us come out normal.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
I mean, looking at woman's
like normal is relative.
The woman's menstrual cycle alone.
Oh, I know.
What her body goes through each and every month to prepare for this event yeah. that most of the time doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know what it's like to be a guy during this situation.
Shoot.
What
this
we
is
do
true.
For that 1 month to get
it's
ready.
It's so hard. I know.
Sex.
It's I love so the hard honesty. On you.
But like thinking about how God has created a woman to do all of this to prepare for each and every cycle that where it may not happen, you know,
right.
like to go
I
through
know.
All
I
that
know.
Just in, it shows you how precious he sees new life.
Right. Right.
So anyway, just to go any more thoughts.
That was really him? Good.
I know. She's awesome.
I have
right?
a little bit of practice, but saying these things, but
yeah, I think the reason we wanted to do this episode, or I wanted to do this episode, was just to really highlight like life at conception and why we believe that, you know, that we believe that Christ and, you know, the Lord infuses the soul at that moment of conception, you know, and so that is a person, that is a being, you know. And I think one of the things that I told my spiritual director I was the most excited about was that I had another soul inside of me. Like that was like the coolest thing to me, that I was like, I'm carrying two souls right now, you know, and like that the weight of that and like what that means and like how and like I will forever be grateful for that experience. And that's the beauty of our suffering collectively mm-hmm. Is because we can appreciate those things so much more, whereas some women may not realize, you know, like for me, even if we just have him, I'm so appreciative, you know, and
yeah.
even just getting the first parts of pregnancy, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, but I wanted to kind of, you know, highlight or talk about what it's like to have a son in heaven and to recognize him as our son, because there are some people who would say that my son doesn't exist, that it was a clump of cells, that, you know, that he's not real. And I'd beg to differ.
Well, even if they don't say it directly, what right. are you implying? When
right.
you say this is not a life until A, B, and C times,
right,
and then
right.
you keep pushing it back.
Yeah.
Right.
What message are you sending to all of those people who have very real children in heaven?
Right. Well, and we've talked about this, like literally the age, what is it? Age of viability mm-hmm. or whatever it's called. It literally keeps getting pushed back as more technology like increases, sure. you know? So it's like, okay, so for those of you who said that at the age of viability, now when are we, like, it just makes no sense.
Well,
you know?
It also makes it easier to justify a certain belief in, you know, I guess the right to choose, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's not a human life, then it's, there's nothing wrong that's happening, right? There's no big deal. It's not even a human life.
Like a rationalization,
but,
you mean?
But it is a human life. They're like, no, it's just a clump of cells that will inevitably be human, or it's, maybe it's not already human yet, but it's not going to not be human, or
right.
like
right.
what is your, you know, and it's just a constant justification of why it's okay, you
the,
know?
The reason my, the Creighton textbook puts it is why conception begins at, I'm sorry, life begins at conception is because that's the first series of events. None of the other events yeah. can happen unless that very first one
yeah.
happens. Well, period.
Yeah.
So that's why we say life begins at conception, and that needs to happen in order for all these other amazing, wonderful things right. to happen.
Well, it's like what you were saying. Like, what does that say about someone else's kids that are in heaven? You know, like, what does that message put across? And I always think about that with the people that do say it, that do have kids in heaven. Like, what are you saying about your own kids in heaven that you don't even realize that are in heaven? And like, how much is that going to suck when you get up there and the kids, you know, hopefully you get up there and the kids are like, oh, yeah, you totally thought I wasn't real. And I was totally real.
Surprise.
You know, thank you for loving me.
That's going to be a hard pill to swallow, I think.
They probably won't be as attitude-y because they're in heaven. But I'm just saying.
They're little saints.
You know?
Well, that's what's so, I think, tragic for them. You know what I mean? And, like, my heart does go out because it's like they don't even realize the beauty. You know, I have a friend who has had abortions, and she'll be like, I really want a third child. And like, she's like, I feel like I'm supposed to have a third child. I ache for that third child. You know, I've listened to her for years, and like, I'm like, well, but you do, like, you have one in heaven, you know, like, yeah. And I think that's hard. Like there's that imprint of that soul literally within her body, you know?
Absolutely.
And she feels it, you know? So,
well, just like you guys feel the presence of Elijah. She may be, no doubt, actually feeling her. Is that what you're saying? Maybe
yeah,
her,
yeah.
the presence of Absolutely. Her third child and just not even recognizing
right,
it.
Right. So I was looking up while we were talking because basically Elijah. So I was like 10 and a half weeks or 11 weeks when we found out that we had lost him. But they said that he had stopped growing at around like 8 or 8 and a half weeks. And this is what's so crazy is that, okay, so they're the size of a raspberry. And he was actually, he was bigger than a raspberry when he, like when we actually, he was probably double that size, I feel like. Anyways.
A big raspberry.
It was a big raspberry.
I have no idea what the next fruit is.
I don't know, but Bennett's are big, so probably. But it says babies, like I was looking up, like what are developing at that time? And it's babies got lips, a nose, and eyelids at 8 weeks.
That's
like
crazy.
Yeah, what else is changing at 8 weeks pregnant? A close-up view of your little embryo would reveal your baby is looking a lot less reptilian and a lot more baby-like. Even though she has webbed feet, hands, her tiny fingers and toes are just starting to differentiate, and her tail is almost gone. You've seen an upper lip forming, the protruding tip of the cute button nose, and a tiny, very thin eyelids. I mean, like, what? Like,
well, and here's something else to highlight is that not just like as far as the rationalization goes, a lot of that is not just is it a life, is it not, but is it wanted or is it not? The mm-hmm. same person who wrote this, you know, or whatever, right. like whenever a human being desires a child, they're willing to look at this.
Right. Right.
But just because a human does not desire to have their child doesn't change the facts
that this that is still
this
going
is still
on
happening. Yeah. They just yeah. don't want to look at it.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah,
it's you not know? Logical.
Like the amount of people that might be pro-choice and will quit smoking if they get pregnant.
You
know, it's like, oh, why don't you just keep smoking? Because it's really not
true.
A life
until a certain point. Why does it matter?
You know, oh, because it's not good. It's going to be unhealthy for what? You know
the
what I mean?
Baby.
Like, I mean, can yeah. we logically think about this for a second? But of course we can't, you know?
Right. So, well, and yeah, it's just crazy because, yeah, I think about like I signed up for all the apps, you know what I mean? Like, and I wanted to watch every single step, you know, of like development and everything. And it says in the apps, your baby is right. this, your baby is that, you know, like, and it's just
maybe we should come out with an app that says your clump of tissues.
And then
to help put
point,
it really put it into perspective for everybody.
Right. If you're
or like two columns. If you want your baby, this is what he or she looks like. If you don't want your
this
baby,
this is what you should call the baby. Just, if not, this is what you should call
silly,
the.
But
the
I mean, that's what's happening. Yeah. In reality.
And it's hard because it's the reality is that these people are. Some of them, I think, do have the opportunity to hear the truth, but some of them don't. Like, I've had friends who have told me, like I didn't know. Like, I did not know, you know, like.
I believe that.
And we've been blessed, and that's what I have to say, is that we've been blessed with this knowledge, and that's why it is so important to talk about it in love, you know, because we can't assume that they do know, you know what
Absolutely.
I mean? And that's what's sad about the world, that they've made it to the point where they believe that scientifically it's just a clump of cells. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, and it's not easy. Like you talked about last week, we get so frustrated because we know the reality.
Right.
But we need to make that a change of trying to communicate in love. A lot of the times we can do that by simply asking questions.
Right.
And not just deciding that we know what the other person is thinking or feeling, but like ask questions, get them to think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
just ask a question about the statements that they're saying or implying if they're not directly saying them, and just...
Right.
I think that's probably a good way, you know.
Yeah, we have to do discussions, you know, and not over social media. I'm so sick of social media and like trying to talk about these important things, and then people are just literally, there's nothing happening. It's not a productive discourse. Like it's just a throwing, you know, punches and trying to look better.
I know a lot of people think I disagree on small level. I agree on like most of what you're saying, but I do think there are opportunities and times. I think that we have to be docile and open to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But because I have had a few conversations on Facebook, on social media, because I know where my limits are.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to see is I want others to see that I can have a conversation with someone I vehemently disagree with.
Right.
And
right.
I can still be loving.
Yeah.
And friendly, and just present a few facts here and there. Now, don't get me wrong. It's difficult and it makes me angry, but I know I can respond in love. Like I won't respond.
Right.
But there's all these people, you know, I've gotten in these conversations, but at least they're seeing like, hey, she doesn't hate me.
Right.
I mean, and so if that's all they walk away with, that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
I
no,
just
want to
kind of
a really great point.
Challenge and just.
Yeah.
So I don't mind engaging in it, but you do have to know who you are and like be open to like taking a step back and stuff like that.
Right. Well, and I think it's a matter of the other person too and how they're responding. Because like if they're just responding with disrespect.
And knowing when to walk away.
Yeah, exactly. So no, but that is a good point. But the other part of this podcast and why we had William come on was wanting to talk about, you know, the early stages of his life. But then after we lost him and the way that he's impacted our life. So,
and mine too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to share or have William share as well. Just stories and the way that we have seen Elijah very present and visible in our life. So I don't know if you want to.
I'll say this. The most recent one would have been this past week when, you know, so I pray a rosary every single morning. And I end the rosary the same way, asking for his intercession. And I pray, you know, St. Michael the Archangel prayer. And in this last time, I was like, dude, like, your mama needs a win. Like she's been going through much crap this past week and 2 weeks and stuff. And like, she's getting nothing, you know? And I'm like, man, anything you can do, please just pray. Like he's always been a prayer warrior for us. And I've been asking him for the past week or so to really, you know,
step it up.
But this one particular day was like, dude, seriously, like it's now or never. She needs a huge win. And I mean, like, that day, like coming home from work and stuff, like she was super excited and she was having an okay day, you know, but then that's when she found, I don't know if this is public, can I just say the whole thing?
Yeah, sure. And actually I wasn't having an okay day. In fact,
okay,
I had already
it was
called
a crap
to Mary,
day.
Cried and like was praying to God in desperate outcries.
Well, you were
outcries.
Just telling me like, you know, you've had a realization and things were just looking up and I was like, oh, well that's good. Maybe that's the win that she needed, you know? And then she finds out that she got accepted into school that she applied for. And I was like, and that was like a huge win for her, you know? And like, she was like in tears of this like big win. And I was like, so I shared with her about how like this morning, I was like, she needs a win, you know? And that's the first thing out of her mouth was like, that's the win she needed, you know? And I was like, you got it. You got the win because he freaking prayed for it.
And
you know?
That must have made you feel amazing to hear how he prayed for you to Elijah after that.
Well, and I had prayed for his intercession too. My prayer, you know, obviously, you know, because I had called you and I was just having a really rough day and just kind of feeling lost in the midst of some hurt and woundedness. And I had not cried. There's a certain situation that was kind of bringing this all to, you know, to this point. And I had not cried about it yet. And I got off the phone with you and I went and I was praying. And I literally just, I started bursting out in tears, you know, and like, I think it's so important, you know, to have that. I couldn't cry about it because I wasn't being honest with God, you know? And so I went in that moment and I literally was like, God, the Father, like daddy, like I need my Father. Like I need tenderness and I need like, and I was so honest with him. And I always then followed up with like, baby boy, like I need your intercession, you know what I mean? Like mama needs you. And then to come find out that, you know, he had been praying intensely to him, you know, and then here I get this and I got an email from the head of the program that was just so, it was above and beyond. It wasn't just like, hey, you've been accepted. She was like, hey, we know similar people.
She was basically like, I'm a fan.
Yeah, she was accepted. Like, I'm really interested. Like, I saw, you know, videos of when you were in Mary Queen of Peace. Like, this is so exciting. Like, we're really excited for you to be in our program. Mm. And like, she was like, I want to talk. She told me that I used to jog walk. I was, you know, an animal caretaker at one point. And she hired that company at the same time. So I was probably in her home taking care of her cat. So it was just so cool, like how many connections we had. And I haven't gotten to talk to her yet, but I'm super excited. And like, it is what I needed. You know what I mean? And here, like, this was at the behest of our baby boy, you know?
Absolutely.
And, but anyways, here.
It's just those little reminders. I know every single time that I'm pissed off or aggravated or we're fighting or something's going wrong or I'm just not doing what I should be doing as a husband or anything like that, I always run into his wind chimes that are hanging right outside our back door.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. Right?
Like, I'll walk outside pissed and I'll slam the door or something like that. And then I hit the wind chimes and I'm like, dang it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I know. My bad.
Explain the wind chimes.
My aunt and uncle gave us wind chimes that have his name on it, you know, and it's just sitting on the back porch or back by the back door.
So
and I'm telling you, like, I never run into them. You
only
know,
those times.
And it's those times or it's something when I have a lot on my mind and I might just bump into it. Now, it's at a perfect level that I would hit it every single time.
But it happens to me too.
I just know when to not hit it, you know.
And I'm fully clear of this. You know, I'm fully
clear. Oh, you are so short. It's not even funny. Yes. I don't know how you would hit it.
I'm
so mad right now when you decide to jump, you know.
No. This one time I had a blanket in my hand and I was so mad. I was like going to like shake it out. And then like it hit it and I was like, okay, you know. Yeah.
It's like those little reminders of like, you know, Dad, calm down. Jesus, not that big of a deal, you know?
I love that.
And it just comes across like little wind chimes, you know?
I know.
Well, like, if you think about it, chillax. Like, we have living children, you know, they grow up, they understand a little bit more. They're able to, well, shoot, Bella's 3 and she like,
does Bella ever come up to you? Mommy, calm down.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, don't say that, mommy. Like, she understands. And then you get this little parent who's helping to hold you accountable.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but here you have this son who is perfected. Mm-hmm. In all his heavenly glory and with in the presence of God, and he's able to help you even more so from heaven. How many people lose sight of that or just don't even recognize that?
A lot.
And that's what is like the fact that we have.
This is true. A lot of people. You asked a question,
you have
I
an
answered
exact
it.
Exact number, William?
42.
That's not a lot. 42,735,000.
That's what I said.
I guess I thought.
You guys are
continue.
So much longer. It's hilarious. Well, what I was going to say was like my the ways that I've seen him are a little different, like the ways that he's come to me. Like I've had experiences in prayer, like very vivid experiences, like actually very shortly after the miscarriage when I was recovering at home, I was praying and he came to me in prayer and he was like, Mama, dance with me. And like, yeah, stupid. I know. And I was like crying and he was like, I'm okay. Like, it was like this beautiful, you know, like, cause I was in such distress at that point, having lost him and like, just being like, I'll never get to have you here. You know what I mean? And he was like, but I'm okay. And he actually came to me like as older and was like, I'm here, you know, like.
Was he good looking?
Of course.
No. He must like you better. He's never come to me and asked to dance.
Well, anyways, so I don't know what to say.
Come on, Daddy. You want to dance with me? Every boy does that with his dad.
He wants you to build wooden things with him.
Hey, Dad, you want to build wood with me?
Well, those are the ways that he comes to me. Like I've had several times, you know, in prayer where I felt him very strongly or like an image or, you know, those times. But that's like, you know, me like that. Mm-hmm. I'm a very visual person, yeah. You know, and then the other times are through intercessing for friends, actually, like friends or his daddy, like especially his daddy. Like if I'm intercessing for William, like. And I'm like, just very similar to what he was saying of like, he's like, no, like he needs this. Like very quickly do I see results. But especially again with like friends where like I have a friend who's struggling and I've been praying. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second, let me bring out the big guns. And like, I'll ask for intercession, you know, and especially it's like, I feel like when it comes to relationships and things like that, he's very powerful. So
it's so cool. Cause you're in the physical, you're seeing a spiritual reality.
Oh, yeah.
And you're able to share that with us.
Oh, that's he's really like beautiful. So loud. Like that's what I feel. Like he's so loud.
He's also a little obnoxious.
Like, but
a little obnoxious.
But knowing our kid, wonder he would who he be gets loud. That from. You know? Yeah. That would be me. But meaning like he makes his presence known. Like and that's where I think if you are open, you know, if you're open, and that's the gift that I believe I have from infertility is being so open to his presence, you know, being so spiritually open to noticing. And it's that stuff where like, if you notice, it's the same thing with my stupid doorbell. Like I didn't
which
realize
doorbell? The one on yeah, your chest,
the one
on
my
on
chest.
Okay.
We don't have a doorbell in our house. So the one on my chest, like it's funny because you don't realize how many times you're experiencing symptoms until you literally have to press a button on
every
your chest.
Time it happens.
Yeah, because you're aware of it. And I think that's the difference is like being aware, and it's the same with your spiritual life, like making the choice to be aware and open to seeing God working in your life. You know what I mean? And when you do, then it's like, oh, wow, he's there. Oh, wow, he's there. You know, I feel like I'm pressing this stupid button like every couple minutes, you know, and I wasn't even aware how many symptoms I was having and how often, you know, and what they were related to. And it's such a good representation of that. Oh, that's look at that. Look at how it comes full circle.
It really does. That was great.
Good job pooping.
Aw, thanks.
There's some ways where I am the one that's which one of these?
Yeah.
I'm like,
but this it's that what is it? A gift that
keeps on giving?
No, not a gift.
No, it's a little video of a dog pooping
a
and a little girl comes up, she's like, good job pooping while the dog's
okay.
pooping.
Yeah.
So our whole thing all the time is like, good job pooping.
Okay,
that's how we congratulate people for doing a good job. Good job pooping.
Thank you for explaining.
I didn't think it needed explanation. I thought everybody saw it.
Like the first like real, I feel like big moment with his intercession, I'd like you to talk about like
okay.
in the hospital.
You said it funny to me. So my wife was in the hospital almost dying and.
But this was right after like the miscarriage,
yeah.
The DNC, after the DNC,
yeah.
all that. So it was like
yeah.
not long after that.
So it was like, yeah, that night. And anyway, so she was like rushed to ICU. Me and her sister were like thrown into the corner of the hospital room. And while they're like going at Elise, like trying to do all kinds of stuff to her. Anyway, she is rushed to ICU. And so we're just in the waiting room and we're up there for like, it wasn't long, but you know, felt like forever.
Oh yeah.
Were you there at this time?
I wasn't.
I don't remember when you got there yet. You were like on your
way.
No,
before she got to ICU.
No, this wasn't, she was in ICU.
It was established that she was not there at this point.
Okay, you were not there at this point, Mary. Okay, so she is in ICU at this point, okay. And we are in the waiting room in ICU, and it's me and her sister Kelly. We're praying the rosary, and we just kind of come to like the end. I don't remember where we're at, but out of nowhere, her sister just asked for the intercession of Elijah Michael. And literally, as soon as she said Elijah Michael, the door like busted open with the nurse, basically being like, hey, we got her stable. Like, you know, you can come back in a little bit. We're not finished yet, but she's stable.
She's alive.
Like, she's going to be good. Just we're waiting for the doctor to show up and all this stuff. But we were up there for like 10 minutes. It felt like a lifetime praying this rosary. But it wasn't until her sister was like, oh my gosh, I don't know why I wasn't even thinking about this, but you know, Elijah Michael, like, just pray for your mom. Boom, and bust through the door. The nurse comes in. So wow. It's like, could have came in any other time. And maybe it's just coincidental, but these sure. coincidences yeah. are just way too
frequent.
Coincidental. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I know.
It's not a coincidence, and that's the reality. I mean,
well, it wasn't like coincidental as far as like, you know, oh yeah, I meant to come in earlier and it was right at this time. Like, no, it's literally at that point in time, as soon as we called upon his name for intercession, the door bust down. Anytime I'm upset, I'm telling you, I don't bump into that without being like upset or stressed out about something. You know, maybe once or twice have I ever like just hit it without, you know,
yeah.
the wind chimes, you know, but I always hit the wind chimes when I'm upset. I'm never like, oh, such a great day, wind chimes hit me in the face. No, it's always been when I'm upset or I'm stressed. It's not even just against like has to do with me and Elise. Like I could just be stressed out about work and coming back inside, you know, and I take the same route every single time and I might hit
boom.
It, you know.
Well, it's serving its purpose because it's right. getting you to think about it yeah. and think about him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was the first time that we realized his intercession was powerful. It wasn't confirmed that was definitely it until it happened like almost every other time we've called upon his name, you know, sure. for intercession, that it's happened.
I'm
you know
sure
what I mean?
It's happened way more than you realize, too. Oh, that yeah. is the reality. Absolutely. I mean,
those are just the times that we
that
think
you
of.
Recognize
yeah.
it. But too, I love how like if I'm struggling with something, there are many times when you texted me, asked mm-hmm. for Elijah's intercession, and I was like, hell yeah, Will, duh. Yeah. Like, so I just love that, like, we're a family. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a member of your family, but, like, by extension, we too. And, like, the rest yes. of your family, your friends, yes. that it's not just for you guys. He's a yeah. very real part of you know, creation that exists yeah. that we can all ask for his intercession and mm-hmm. really live through him.
Well, and the reality is, and I told you this, that you and Chris would have been his godparents, so I consider you his godparents. So if there's any time that, like, you know, anything's going on with y'all, I will literally say, Elijah Michael, like, your godparents need you.
And I know he's present, you know, like, yeah. that's a very real situation. Just because he's passed away doesn't mean we can't still, like, right. you know, appreciate that role in his life.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, and that's where, like, for me, it's having gone through this experience, like, I already had the belief that, you know, at the point of conception was life. But now, like, don't try to tell
oh
me
gosh.
Different. Like, do like, not try to tell, because then you're going to get the mama.
Because again,
yeah.
they're implying something about your son.
Right.
And that's not okay.
Well, and that I've witnessed his presence. You know what I mean? Like, I was there when I heard his heartbeat. I was the one who was carrying him. Like, I've seen him, like, in the ways that he has been present in our life. And you can't, it's one of those things where testimony is so powerful because you can't object to
exactly.
what I've experienced.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't say,
you know?
Oh, you did not experience
right.
that.
Right.
And who revealed his name to you? Was that him or was the Blessed Mother?
It was I was just through prayer.
Okay,
I Elise revealed it to me.
Well, it was crazy. It was
what laugh was that? I've never heard you laugh like that before.
It was like I for some reason, and like we like really random names like Tristan and like Philomena and
apple
like
tree,
you know.
Cauliflower.
Oh yeah, he wants apple. Apple teeny.
Cauliflower would be really pretty.
Oh my gosh, yep. you just know.
Apple cauliflower.
Like Willow, Wilhelmina, because he wants, if we don't have
a... I was like, if we have a girl, I mean, we're not going to have a boy, and the odds of us getting pregnant is just, like, really slim. So, like, if we end up with a girl, like, let's name her
Wilhelmina.
After me.
Naturally.
Wilhelmina.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I agree. Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina.
Or Willa or Willow or Wilhelmina or Willa or Willow.
Willow
or...
is taken by Will Smith's daughter.
I'm sorry. Then she was named after a cheesy 80s movie about little people.
I mean, Willow is a pretty tree, right? Or a tree. I don't know if it's
pretty.
It's
actually, like, when I looked it up, it was kind like of a depressing.
Like, oh, the weeping willow.
It was, like, a depressing. And I was like, oh, maybe I don't want my child to be named after this.
So maybe Willow.
Anyway,
so
it worked out.
So the point being is that I kept hearing Elijah. And that's not a name I would have chosen, you know?
Right.
And, like, so, and then what's crazy is, like, you know, I had shared this before. Like, when we came home from the first time from the ER, like, that's when I passed his body. And as soon as I passed, I heard Michael, because we were like trying
Maybe
to we were like Raphael this, and I was like, no, he's not a Ninja Turtle. Like, you know, like that's what I heard.
I
when
mean,
I heard Raphael.
Powerful biblical characters, Elijah and Michael.
I know.
I mean we're wondering why he's a badass in heaven.
I know yeah. Right.
I mean, it's right. Pretty
well, and it's
obvious.
It's like when you look up what does Elijah mean, it's like my God is Yahweh, like, and then there's like, but there's other ones that are trying to see. I'm looking it up right now because I've looked it up like multiple times, and it's like a really the Lord is my God.
It's just a statement of truth,
right?
Absolutely. And aren't we, like, I say that during the consecration at Mass. Like, I have read somewhere that that's like what God, like
my Lord,
what,
and my God,
my Lord, yeah. And my God, yeah,
right. It's just, I mean, it's
a profound statement.
It's a good name.
So, it is the good
and
name.
If nothing else, we hope that this inspires and encourages and reminds women and family and husbands and families everywhere, anybody who knows a child who has passed, whether it was intentional or not, that those babies can intercede for us,
yeah.
And that we shouldn't forget them and just continue to call upon them
for truth.
Absolutely. You for got realties. Some powerful intercessors in heaven. So,
heck yeah.
And I think, you know, for any woman who has experienced the loss of a child, whether it be through miscarriage, stillbirth, or, you know, beyond, like, that life is important, you know, and to know that you can, you know, not only mourn that life, you know, but also rejoice in that life.
And experience,
you know?
That life. I'm sure it's very comforting for you to know he's very real. You
oh,
know,
absolutely.
Like a lot of women, maybe they don't know what happens
right
in that situation. But to know that, to be so heartbroken by a miscarriage, but find out that like the child is real, that's very comforting, I can imagine.
He lets us know. He's totally my son for sure. Because he's
hits
like,
you with
hello,
some wind.
I'm here.
I don't think he does that at all.
He smacks you in the face with some wind jobs when you begin.
He's a little manlier than that.
He comes through.
Thank
Hello,
you, Daddy.
I'm here. I didn't mean it like that. Anyways. Oh
well,
my
thank
God.
Y'all for being so vulnerable and sharing so much. I love that's
too,
really important, like vulnerability. And Will, thanks for hanging out.
We thank know, you for letting me be on your show.
I know,
and
you're
this is his week. Actually, his we celebrate his life on his due date, which is January 24th.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. So.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy first heavenly birthday.
Will is going to be back to hang out with us again on some more podcasts on some different topics.
So yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Me
dude.
Too.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah. And if you want to hear Will on his own podcast,
yes.
Tell him about it.
Well,
it's called That Guy Show.
And there's another one.
Is there?
You've forgotten about your own podcast.
Oh, I haven't done that one for so long.
But it's
still
there.
Really
they
good.
Yeah,
it.
It's called No Expectations with William Bennett. And there's really not a lot of expectations. There's actually a lot of podcasts.
There's
that
another
are,
podcast.
Is there?
Don't hold out.
No, there's not.
There's another one with somebody else you did.
With my wife?
Well,
the
that
two
one
episodes.
Too. But no, the one with Josh.
Oh, yeah, that one. But, that one was like really old. That one is called Without Apology.
Ah, yeah.
And that one was a fun show, but we only did like four episodes and then we stopped. Yeah. But so That Guy Show is the one that I mainly do.
It's really good. Yeah. Y'all should check it out.
It's a guy show. It's like the opposite of this show.
It's self-explanatory, right?
Where can they find out about this show? Where are y'all at?
We're everywhere. Just search for That Guy Show.
Oh,
it's great because it's like Catholic guys. They're like men, you know, but like real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad we're real men.
All right. Who's getting the word of the day?
Elise.
Am I giving it or giving it? Do you want to give it?
I'll witness.
Okay. You'll witness.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Word of the day. Tontine. I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce it.
Oh.
It's spelled T-O-N-T-I-N-E. Oh, wait. Look. It has got a little microphone. It says it. Let me see if I can get it to pronounce it. It doesn't want to work. All right, just go for it.
Tontine.
Tontine.
When a child taunts another child. Tontine. It's like a little taunting. Taunt. It's like a little taunt.
Yeah.
You basically borrowed the definition of another word, but that's cool. The definition is a joint financial arrangement whereby the participants usually contribute equally to a prize that is awarded entirely to the participant who survives all the others.
What?
That sounds morbid, but that's cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
There we go. Well, that's it, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. You look like you want to say something.
Thank you for letting me be on your show.
Yay.
You live here.
I do live here. I love that picture on your phone.
We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye. We were in Epcot when we took this picture. We're being British. I know.
She likes to talk at the end.